Welcome to the Democracy Dispatch podcast. I'm Justin Marsh, political director at Vermont Conservation Voters. This is your weekly scoop on legislative action as we work to push forward environmental policies for Vermont. Each Monday, we will take a look back at the week prior, preview the week ahead, and speak with legislators and advocates on topics affecting our air, water, open space, and quality of life. We have a shorter one for you this week as I was in Washington, D.C. attending the America Votes State Summit. I will give you a recap of my time there, some initiatives that were shared and learned, and all the elected officials that I was able to meet and hear from while I was there. Before that, we hear from Representative Amy Sheldon about recent work in the committee that she chairs, the House Committee on Environment and Energy, as well as her thoughts following the floor vote on H-687, a bill that reforms Vermont's land use policy, Act 250, which we dedicated our last episode to. But first, I want to bring in Lauren Hurl, Executive Director of Vermont Conservation Voters, into the fold for our Session Shakedown segment. It's where we recap the last week in the State House and give a preview of what is in store. Okay, Lauren, so fill me in on what I missed this past week. Let's start with H-687, which makes reforms to the land use policy known as Act 250.
Well, you missed what is definitely in my memory the longest floor debate that I can think of. They spent many hours talking about 687 in the House, really talking through how that bill would help housing, how it would protect the environment, kind of all the things that we've been advocating for a balanced package to make sure that we can, you know, do both and encourage housing in smart growth locations while we also ensure we're protecting critical resources. So a lot of back and forth. It was a lot of amendments offered on the floor, a number of which of those were adopted and incorporated into the bill. But at the end of the day, after lots of back and forth, the bill did end up advancing on an 89-51 vote. So strong support. And that has now headed over to the Senate, where they will be considering that bill. They'll also be looking at policies in S-311, which moved out of Senate Economic Development a few weeks ago. So I'm anticipating that probably, you know, multiple policies will get rolled into that vehicle, and that the Senate will be looking to kind of strike that right balance too between encouraging housing and doing it in climate smart ways.
We're going to just play a few vote explanations. These happened after the roll call when members of the House indicated they'd like to explain their vote. You'll hear Speaker Krowinski introduce or address the member and then the member's speech.
Member from Waitsfield. Madam Speaker, I vote yes on this bill to improve the efficiency, transparency, and predictability of the Act 250 process. This bill supports the livability and economic vitality of our communities, including farms and forests, tourism, and outdoor-based recreation businesses. This bill also contributes to the scaffolding we so desperately need to achieve a more climate-resilient future.
Member from Worcester.
Madam Speaker, I represent three towns among the towns that I represent that are rural with less than 1,000 people. H-687 is a major bill in many ways. It will allow us to accomplish a simple and critical purpose. We have experienced and will continue to experience the effects of climate change on our communities, large and small. So we must learn from these experiences to use our landscape in ways that mitigate future damage as much as possible and to promote much needed new housing and other projects that benefit our economy in ways that are resilient and lasting.
Member from Middlebury.
Today, I vote yes for improvements to the administration of Act 250 that support good governance, effective locally driven land use planning, and economic development initiatives, which in turn support human and natural community resilience.
And member from Burlington.
To meet Vermont's land use challenges, be they lack of housing or areas of flooding, we need a more efficient, consistent permitting process that exempts Act 250 review in locations identified through stakeholder mapping processes, and that clarifies where environmental review should occur. This bill does this and increases access to technical assistance and grants for all communities.
Member from Guilford.
Madam Speaker, may I explain my vote?
You may.
I voted yes. Changing the way we design, plan, and build will support, grow, and strengthen our downtown and village centers. This will help us attract the workers we need and accommodate older Vermonters in our rural state. H-687 helps us do this.
And then on Friday, the Senate voted on S-259, the Climate Superfund Act, also known as Make Big Oil Pay. How did that vote go?
That was a great vote. So Senate voted 21-5 to advance it. A few people were absent, at least some of whom we know support the bill. So great to see that strong support. And really, there was no kind of debate around whether to move the bill. There were a lot of really nice floor speeches on why this issue is so important and Vermont's history of being willing to take on big corporations and hold polluters accountable. So that was really great to see, you know, just how much support in the chamber. There were a number of Vermont youth. So the youth lobby had come out for a day of action, and it was great timing because they were able to watch, you know, as the Senate voted to advance the bill. So that was really fun to see the Senate chamber packed with a bunch of kids hearing legislators actually taking action on one of their priority bills. So that was really fun.
And probably a real exercise for them to not have electronics, I imagine, on the Senate.
Yeah, a lot of twitching, but they did it.
I sound so old. S-25, a bill that would ban PFAS and other harmful toxics from a variety of products, including personal care products, textiles, cosmetics, and artificial turf, is wrapping up its time in the committee, I hear. What's the latest there?
That is also moving forward well. So the committee's heard a lot of testimony, and really the main thrust has been pushing to improve the bill. So adding a couple more toxic chemicals to be restricted from personal care products and cosmetics and menstrual products, and then also adding a couple product categories. So if this all sticks, then they might add cookware, you know, so no more Teflon pans that are contaminating you with PFAS, as well as juvenile products. So things, you know, marketed to kids under 12. So that would be really exciting to see. And those PFAS has been banned from those product categories in other states. So it's kind of helping ensure Vermonters can be as protected as people in some of these other leading states. So we're hoping to see a vote on that this week out of committee. So then it would head ideally to the House floor sometime in the next week or two.
That's very exciting and always good to see things getting stronger. And that's obviously one of them that I feel like there's endless possibilities for what we could tack onto that bill.
Yeah, for sure. Just noting one thing we are looking at is how quickly these bans get implemented. There is some back and forth. The main thing the industry is asking for is like years and years extra to keep selling these toxic products. So that's where I think the stickiest point for us is at this point, is to make sure we don't push that out any longer than we need to. You know, you've got to give time for supply chains to get cleaned up. But the more years we give, it just means more PFAS chemicals coming into our state. And then we're dealing with the repercussions of that for generations. So that'll be where one of the battle lines will be in the next couple of weeks.
And what about the policies that passed out the week before? We have the Renewable Energy Standard, the Flood Safety Act, and the neonicotinoid bill. Have those been taken up in the opposite chamber's committees yet?
Not yet. So Renewable Energy Standard has been sent to Senate Natural Resources and Energy Committee. So they've been really working a lot on looking at the housing and Act 250 policies. So I'm not sure exactly when they will take that up, but we haven't yet seen action, but I'm sure that will happen. They'll start working through that in the next, you know, couple weeks for sure. The Flood Safety Act, we believe that they'll start doing a walkthrough later this week. So that's really exciting, in-house environment and energy. So hopefully we'll see progress on that. And then the neonics bill is in the Senate Agriculture Committee. I think it might take some encouragement to our senators to make sure that that bill gets taken up. I'm not sure if the chair of our Senate Ag Committee is very excited to move that bill. So there might be some advocacy needs to to get that one moving. But that's kind of where those bills stand.
Yes, good to know. And we'll keep listeners will have to keep posted on seeing those action alerts if we do end up needing to lay on some pressure over in the Senate.
Exactly.
And I know we mentioned Act 250 earlier, but you also spoke with Representative Amy Sheldon following the floor vote for our next segment. Do you want to set that up?
Yeah. So Representative Sheldon, who is the chair of the House Environment and Energy Committee, kindly joined me after what, as I mentioned, has been a real marathon week. So we were able to catch up on kind of where some of the big House priority environmental bills have landed and kind of look ahead to what's coming over to the House next. So why don't we go listen to that now? I am so happy to be here with Representative Amy Sheldon from Middlebury, who is the chair of the House Environment and Energy Committee. And it's been a huge week. So coming out of crossover where all the committees must pass all their bills, it means there's huge floor calendars where lots and lots of bills are up for discussion. And you all have been through a marathon on some of the critically important work that you've been doing. Can you just give us a highlight of where the House and your committee has been focusing your time and where you've landed with some really important bills?
Sure. Thanks for having me. Well, it was a big week, and we took up our Act 250 bill on Wednesday and had a really strong vote of support on the floor of the House for that bill. And that is it's a culmination of years of work, but most recently, work on the off session from a number of different partners. And the bill that we passed is very strong, very much in alignment with the consensus agreement, and has a lot of momentum behind it. And we're super excited to be sending that off to the Senate. As you know, before that, we sent the Senate the Renewable Energy Standard, which is a big win for Vermont and the climate. That feels really great. And I just had breakfast with Senator Bray, and we're talking about the bills he's going to be sending over to us coming up.
That is great. And on the Act 250 bill, so that really landed at a place where it's going to better protect our environment and encourage housing and smart growth, the kinds of locations we want it. I mean, it felt like it's just a really good package of policy changes for kind of pointed in the direction we need to go. I was excited to see how strong a vote it was because it's such a big, meaty bill and there's so much to it. Any highlights for you or bullets?
There's four main things that are in that bill. And their focus really is on governance at Act 250, which is a little bit wonky, but it's super important. We're making a professional board. We are adding a criteria to protect forest blocks and habitat connectors, which is really important. We've passed that out of the House a number of times over the years, so we felt confident putting that in the bill. Our regional planning commissioners have worked super hard to update their process and incorporate it into this larger statewide program that we're standing up at the board level. So regional plans will be more consistent across the state. There'll be more support for local planning, which will feed into the changes we're making at Act 250. And then underpinning all of that are the programs at the Agency of Commerce and Community Development that help our smaller towns in particular, but all of our towns do economic development in their core areas, their centers, their downtowns, their villages. And we've made that an easier process for towns to engage in so that they can have the economic development and housing where they want it. Yeah, it feels like a really great package. There's a lot of people who support it.
Yeah, that's great. So that bill will now head to Senate Natural Resources and Energy. They already have the Renewable Energy Standard Modernization, as you mentioned. You will soon start working on the Flood Safety Act, looking at how we manage our river corridors, our wetlands, our dams. So that's really exciting, another huge priority. And then today, we're sitting here on Friday, and we're anticipating a vote in the Senate on the Make Big Oil Pay Bill, the Climate Superfund, holding the largest fossil fuel companies accountable for helping pay for the damage that their products are wreaking on our state. So lots of critically important work. So some more things headed your way now, after, but hopefully you can take a weekend to take a breath because it's been a big, busy week. Thank you for all you're doing. Any last thoughts before I let you go and get back to it?
No, thanks for having me. This was great.
Awesome. Appreciate it. And we'll be back with you soon, I'm sure, to get an update on how the Senate bills are going.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
That was Middlebury Representative Amy Sheldon. I want to now just briefly share a recap of my time at the America Votes State Summit last week in Washington, D.C. America Votes is the coordination hub of the progressive community, working with more than 400 state and national partner organizations to strengthen democracy, win elections, and protect every American's right to vote. Their annual state summit brings hundreds of state and national experts to Washington, D.C. for several days of strategizing, networking, and energizing for the road ahead. Across the nation, we're witnessing a trend that state field organizers have long seen coming, that real political fights are happening and being won or lost at the state and local level. Attacks on civil rights and liberties, gerrymandering, and other misuses of power are occurring in local elections. And of course, these actions have devastating long-term implications. And while many advocacy organizations have spent the better half of the last 20 years investing in DC and federal offices and platforms, they have largely left their states to sort of fend for themselves. Agile and long-term focused organizations have had their eye on the states and acknowledge that the only way to counter this attack is to provide states with resources and long-term infrastructural investments. Enter the State Summit. So the focus of the breakout sessions that I attended were largely about hearing what other states have been doing successfully, and I sort of had this framing of what I could potentially bring back to Vermont. The first session was called Let's Talk About Climate. I figured it was a pretty fitting panel for me to attend with my Vermont Conservation Voters hat on. Its panelists discussed the importance of addressing the climate crisis and bolstering the transition to a clean energy future. And despite recent major climate policy wins, some voters seem to think that so little has been done. So the panelists discussed techniques on energizing voters and especially youth voters. Don Shia of the Student Public Interest Research Group and Tanisha Harris from the Action for Climate Emergency both talked about ways that they themselves, as people under 40, have worked with the youth movement and connected with younger voters to bring them along on the fight for our climate. A friend of the podcast, Seth Hoffmeister from Wisconsin Conservation Voters, shared about Wisconsin's successful organizing strategy of canvassing around the Inflation Reduction Act incentives, touting that the Biden administration provided these tools that effectively save voters money. Wisconsin being a purple state, of course, there was some initial hesitancy at doors when the introduction was about Joe Biden, but ultimately folks did end up being really happy because they were saving money along the way. And so this was a great way for them to connect with voters, not only about Wisconsin Conservation Voters, but also about the Biden administration's incentives. You can hear more about Wisconsin's really excellent organizing efforts by listening to my conversation with Seth from last May. That is episode 17, if you go looking for it. I also attended a session called Cutting Through the Clutter, which highlighted some new ways that organizations are connecting with voters to increase voter turnout. And two ideas in particular stood out that I really loved, and I hope to explore them here in Vermont. One was offered up by Marissa Kanoff of Vote Rev. And that was around high traffic vote tripling, where essentially organizations have found that in some cases, voters are being attempted to be reached, but are actually not, they're not making that connection with the voters. So that could be through texts of letting people know, here's your polling places, here's how to get out to vote. And even though those attempts are being made on average 7 times, some voters are just falling through the cracks and actually not getting to the polling place. So what they found to be successful is setting up outside of polling places and asking voters on their way out to text 5 of their friends just to say, hey, it's election day, you should get out and vote, and having a conversation with a known contact, a known friend. And that tactic has deemed really extremely successful in really bridging that gap so that voters actually get to the polls. And they found that having obviously a friend make that suggestion and contact is far more effective than a robo-text. Go figure. And lastly, DJs at the polls, which it's exactly what it sounds like. It brings local DJs to polling sites around the country to celebrate the voting process with fun, family-friendly music. I heard from the founder, Anton Moore, who has grown the nonpartisan initiative to several states, started it in Philadelphia. And he said this most recent election, Philadelphia polling sites where the DJs performed saw an increased voter turnout up to 3%. It's small, but it's an effective, and especially compared to the sites that didn't have DJs, which didn't see an increase in voting. So pretty exciting stuff. And outside of the sessions that I attended, we were treated to some really fantastic talks from high-ranking elected officials that were announced the day of. So we actually had no idea going into it who was going to be speaking. But I heard from New York Attorney General Letitia James, the first Black Attorney General and the first female Attorney General for the state of New York, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, who's the country's highest ranking Native woman elected to the executive office, and Florida U.S. Representative Maxwell Frost, who is the youngest member of Congress and the first from Gen Z. Each of them shared their experiences, some things that they've heard while out and about talking to their constituents, some of them with the battles, especially in New York, around democracy, and some major successes, particularly with Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan celebrating the trifecta in that state and all of the really critical policies that they've been able to pass, having a Democratic chamber in both the House and Senate and a Democratic governor. If only we could experience that here in Vermont, maybe in some due time. But for now, I want to thank our guest, Representative Amy Sheldon and Lauren Hurrell, for assisting me. And if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media. You can subscribe to our emails, see our legislative environmental scorecard, which is now totally updated with all the votes in the last 2 weeks, and learn more about our work and policies by visiting VermontConservationVoters.org. And we will be back next Monday. Hopefully I'll have an interview set up this time, and we'll have a brand new episode for you. Until then, thanks for listening.